Hello, and welcome to the Every Child, Every Day podcast. I'm your host, Rob Arnold, superintendent of Amherst County Public Schools. Over the last year, you have been introduced to unfamiliar terms like COVID slide or learning loss. Ultimately, this is another way to describe the gaps in learning that our students have experienced due to the disruptions caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, we're going to discuss Amherst County's unique plan to help students fill in those gaps in learning. We will be discussing more specifically our summer school programming. Joining me in this discussion is Director of Student Services, Mr. Josh Neighbors. Please join me to learn more about these plans. Welcome, Mr. Neighbors.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Arnold.
Okay, so as I said earlier, we are looking at a year of great disruption to what we would call our normal learning processes, and because of that, we have had some students that clearly have not gotten what they have experienced in the past, and so when we've been working this spring to come up with how we're going to extend learning through our summer school program, and you are the person that is kind of leading that charge for us, so I've brought you on. And so first, I would like for you to talk a little bit about why the summer program is so important to our students.
Absolutely. So in any year, we value our summer programming and think that it is certainly essential for certain subsets of our students, and it's a great way for kiddos to get some of those things that they need, may not be getting during the regular school year. This year, for all of the reasons you mentioned and beyond, we think it's important for all of our students to have access to that programming and being able to interact with the content in deeper and richer ways even than they have during the school year. As we're looking at the summer and knowing that it is compacted in some ways, looking at our calendar, we're going into June with some of our regular school programming. We're picking up again in August, looking at that time in between as an opportunity to continue that learning for our students, not just our students that are having difficulties or maybe haven't gotten to where we want them to be this year with their own personal goals, but ultimately providing that opportunity for all of our students to have that continuity, to be that bridge into the next school year, knowing that and hoping the next year will be looking something a little more typical to what we are used to. We want to ensure we're using every available moment to give that opportunity to students and prepare them for what that will be. So for all of our students, we really do feel like that is a priority this year, and we want our families to know that we want their students to be there this summer and to spend as much time as they possibly can with us.
So we offer summer school every summer.
Right.
So what is this? Is this right. A different thing?
Yep. So this year, we're looking at a lot of different modes, right? A lot of different ways to express that content and have students participate. At the elementary level, we are still working with the YMCA and our Power Scholars program. In previous years, there's been relatively restrictive criteria on that program, so only certain subsets of students were able to participate. This year, in cooperation with the Y, we've been able to expand that criteria, really bring in a lot more students to participate in that program. For families that may not have had experience with that previously, it's a rich remediation program, a lot of focus on reading and math and bringing the students in and spending a lot of time on that. But there's also a component where we're talking about extension and resource, really getting them not out into the community this year. In previous years, it has been the case, but bringing the community to them, let them explore careers, let them explore aspects of their community they may not be familiar with, and trying to enrich that learning, get them to apply that in a very practical way. At the secondary level, typically we are very concerned with the SOL remediation and credit recovery and making sure that students are getting what they need for graduation. This year at the middle school and high school levels, we're really pulling back and talking a lot more about how we're remediating those skills, providing continued access to the content to make sure we're building those skills they're going to need in the years to come, but then also introducing, much like we do with the elementary students, that component of how do we enrich that, how do we make it practical, how do we help them apply in a very real way that learning that they're doing with that reading and math. I think what is really something that distinguishes this summer from other summers is there will also be a significant virtual component to this, understanding that we have students that either may not be here. We may have families that are going to visit other family members, going on trips. We may have students and families that aren't yet comfortable coming back into a school environment. We want to ensure we're offering all of those different types of modalities for students to participate. At the secondary level throughout the summer, we're going to be offering a virtual component where students can do self-paced as well as synchronous learning with those reading and math components, getting access to that remediation. And that's in addition to the in-person learning that we're doing for the elementary program. We're going to offer some extended weeks beyond Power Scholars, and we'll kind of get into some dates and times, I'm sure, as we get deeper into the podcast here, but ultimately wanting to make sure we have as many of those days over the summer covered with learning opportunities as we possibly can.
So you brought up two things that I want you to kind of go back and, and touch on a little bit deeper. You talked about remediation. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about remediation, we think about skills that would have been gained or should have been gained at this specific grade level, and we need to kind of remediate or make up those skills. What are we doing to assure that every student's specific needs are going to be met? Because lots of students are clearly going to be at different places across their learning continuum.
Absolutely. This year, and it's really fortunate that it kind of conjoined with what we're talking about doing for the summer school programming, the introduction of the MAP assessment has been vital, I think, and not just planning for summer school, but also for instructional remediation during the school year, really having those individualized data points and seeing how students are performing within those individual skill strands as we're working our way through those content areas. And that really is going to be our guide as we're looking at this summer programming. We do have wonderful curriculum that's provided by the YMCA through a grant that they have. We're also developing curriculum that's going to be the umbrella, so to speak, for what we do. But within that and digging down to each individual student, those data points are going to be available to us to determine there may be something different that you as a student would need versus myself. How are we tailing that remediation component when we're talking about the math and reading pieces specifically to what my needs are, specifically to what your needs are, and making sure that we're building those necessary skills as we're moving forward.
So that's a real major component to this. You had talked a little bit about the extension activities and those kinds of things, but this has to happen first and foremost, and then we move into more of the extension and the deeper types of learning.
Absolutely right. We don't feel like we would be doing what we need to for our students if we didn't have that strong anchor of the academic work, really getting them into that content that they need access to. But we also value the extension piece to that, where they're taking that information they're learning in the morning and immediately applying that in the afternoon in a real way that can really let that sink in and harden and becomes more concrete when we apply it in that way with our students.
The other term that you used was credit recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the secondary program, we know there are still long-term goals with our students. Ultimately, we want to make sure that we are still putting them on track to graduate in a timely fashion, to get the credits that they need to accrue to get that diploma at the end of their time with us. So that still is an important part of what we're going to be offering at the secondary level this year. We have flexibility with that, and we're going to use every ounce of that flexibility to get students what they need. But at the same time, we don't want to lose sight of some of those long-term goals and ensuring we're still giving students access to that resource.
Right, and how important are credits to the, especially the high school student, because
absolutely,
ultimately their goal in the end is to graduate from school, and credits are required to do that.
Most definitely.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about where these are going to be, these programs. Are they going to be in all of our schools?
So they will be in all of our secondary schools. I'll start there. So both middle schools and the high school will be offering programs at each of their locations for secondary students. As you mentioned, or as we just spoke about with credit recovery, the look of the program might be somewhat different from the middle schools to the high school, but ultimately there will be in-person and virtual options available for all students in all of those locations. At the elementary level, we've had a lot of success in the past with isolating to particular schools and having students come there. For the southern end of the county, we're going to be utilizing Madison Heights Elementary School. They're going to be our host down there, and for the northern end, Central Elementary School will be hosting students from that portion of the county. I do want to make sure that everyone's aware, even though we're only having it at the two elementary schools, it's It's open to all elementary students in the division. And obviously we'll work with families to ensure that we're able to get them to the appropriate site. And there's going to be some convenience and location factors obviously involved with that. But pulling those out and having those at those two individual sites allows us to concentrate our resources in a different way and provide that necessary support for students.
So earlier in the conversation, you talked about the Power Scholars and their eligibility process. What is our eligibility? Who is eligible to attend summer school?
Absolutely. So the easy answer to that is everyone would be eligible to attend summer school this year, our summer programming, and that's pre-K all the way through 12 with our current students. Ultimately, we want to ensure that we're allocating our resource to the students that need it most. So as we're talking with staff and talking with administrators, we want to ensure that we're targeting those student groups that are essential and making sure they get that connection and get that content. But ultimately, we want to be able to provide an environment where all of our students can come in if they are able and willing to. We do feel as though offering the virtual component in addition to the in-person component still gives that access, and we want families to be able to utilize that. But ultimately, we've been blessed to be able to say criteria is much more open this year than in years past, and we can offer it to more students.
So will the virtual and the in-person option be simultaneous, or are you going to have to make a choice, or is that going to be in different time blocks?
Right. So for our secondary students, we really are going to be a lot of options with it. So there will be a virtual component running simultaneous to the in-person. So on June 14th, and kind of getting into some dates now, all of that will begin at the secondary level. So we'll have in-person programming at both middle schools and the high school, as well as a self-paced virtual option that will begin on June 14th and run through July 2nd, so that Friday before the July 4th holiday. Afterwards, so after that week of July 4th, on July 12th, we're going to begin a both self-paced and synchronous virtual time frame for the next 3 weeks, so July 12th through July 30th. We'll have the self-paced component, but that'll be augmented by teachers in our classrooms actually providing virtual instruction synchronously for students. At the elementary level, we are just offering the in-person program from June 14th through July 9th. We're incorporating that week of July 4th. We'll take July 5th off for the holiday, but we're only offering in-person during that time, but we will pick up the virtual, which will be self-paced and synchronous, beginning that next Monday on July 12th and running through July 30th. So for secondary, we'll have that virtual component running throughout. For elementary, we're adding that virtual component at the end for the final 3 weeks of July.
So the June 14th start date is literally right after
Monday after school.
School ends. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then at the beginning of August, then they might have a week or two, maybe a two-week.
About 2 weeks, I think. Yeah.
2 week break there. And we're back at it again. So certainly this is an extended learning process that we're putting in place.
It is. And I want to make a note too for families that are listening. We know kind of bringing them in that Monday after school ends, it's going to be not necessarily the most motivating for some of our students. What we're really aiming to do with these programs is ensuring that we are making them as interactive and fun as we possibly can. A big piece with what we're doing at both the elementary and middle school levels with this program is ensuring that we have a lot of fun themes. We're going to give it almost a camp feel. They're working through that academic work, but then able to do some really fun activities and projects as they get in through the days and through the rest of the week. We want them working together. We want them to be collaborative. We want to be building all those skills that are essential as they're moving through not just school, but out into life beyond us as well. And we look at this as an opportunity to build some of those skills and have a little fun at the same time.
And I think what we have to remember is that in the last year, there's been such change, such disruption that it's not realistic to think that in the normal school year that we can correct all of the things that were laid on us in the last year. And so the need for extending the school year with our summer program is all the more important.
Absolutely.
Clearly.
Right.
Given the times, so when during the day will this all happen?
So for our elementary program, we're going to run 8 to 4 each day, and that's Monday through Friday. For secondary, so for our middle schools and high schools, that'll run 9 to 3 Monday through Friday.
Okay. All right. And so obviously that's an all-day program.
All-day program.
So food should be a factor in this.
Absolutely.
Will there be food for
There will
our
be food.
Students?
So we'll have breakfast and lunch, as we would typically do during a school day. We always like to do snacks as well during summer programming, just to add to that camp vibe that we're trying to bring in with that. So plenty of food available for students. I know another big area of logistics that we look at is transportation. We are going to be able to offer that strategically. Again, we're not looking at being able to offer maybe the full amount that we would typically do during the school year, but as it is needed, we're going to be asking families with the registration process if transportation is required. We do ask that if families are able to transport their students, that will certainly be helpful in ensuring we can bring more students into the program. But ultimately, that's something we're going to be providing on an as-needed basis.
Absolutely. Okay, so what probably parents will want to know as well is, what are we doing in terms of mitigation protocols, because those are the things that we currently have in place. So for those that are listening, we currently still do 6 feet of social distancing, one student per seat on the bus. We have masks are worn at all times when you're indoors. What else do we have? Temperature checks at the door. We do hygiene. You know, we really stress our hygiene and using hand sanitizers and washing hands and all of those good wiping down surfaces. So
Absolutely.
All of those things are what we currently have in place. Yeah. And quite honestly, something we've done really well this
Absolutely.
Year. Because the fact is, we've been in school since September. And so I think we've shown that we can do it. So is it going to look exactly the same?
Yeah, and for those reasons, it will look very similar. It won't look exactly the same, but we've seen a lot of success with those mitigation measures, and we want to ensure we continue to utilize that. And the ultimate goal is to provide a safe environment for our students, and we want to continue to be able to do that. We are fortunate that we have some updated guidance from the CDC. So certain aspects, you mentioned the 6 foot distancing, we're actually going to be able to reduce that to a 3 foot distancing during summer programming, and that'll be in the school building. It will also assist us to a certain degree with transportation, but ultimately it's something that we'll be able to bring them together a little bit closer on the bus to a seat. So looking at that component of it, that's probably going to be the biggest change for students, the biggest change for families as they are looking at it. The rest, wearing masks, ensuring that surfaces are clean, that hygiene component that you mentioned, all of that will still be essential to making sure we have a successful summer program.
Okay. But we can get a lot of folks in, a lot more kids in the building by closing the distance down with our social distancing.
We absolutely
which is
can.
Which is a really good thing. And that is actually a good opportunity for us to practice for the fall too, because
Absolutely.
Certainly the goal in the fall is to get everybody back into school 5 days a week, all day.
That's right.
You know, and so that will also serve a good opportunity for the school system to prepare themselves for fall.
And as we have all year, obviously we're going to rely on our students and families to continue to do all the things they've done to support that. We're not going to be able to continue with these programs and do all the things we need to do for this number of students without those things being in place and being strong. So we appreciate our families and our students for really, really stepping up when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Makes programs like this possible.
Yeah, because one of the things that shuts it down pretty quickly is having to quarantine.
Absolutely.
And those are still things that happen. We are not dealing with those as much as we did 2 months ago, but they still happen. And the last thing we want to do is lose learning time with our staff in our buildings because of quarantine. So if you have sick children, we ask that you keep them home.
That's right.
And that would help a great deal.
Most definitely.
Okay, so we know why it's important. We know what it is. We know where it is, who's eligible, when, how we're going to get there, what we're going to eat, mitigation. So how do we register?
Right.
So how are we going to say, yeah, let us do that?
Right. So beginning Friday, April 2nd, we are going to be sending out a registration form where families will be able to input their information, give us some idea on preferences such as their ability to participate in person versus virtually, whether or not they would be requesting transportation. All of that is going to be going out virtually. We're sharing it on social media, on school websites. It'll be out there for families to be able to access and complete online. That'll come directly to us so that we know which students are interested in participating, and we can start working on all those logistics and getting that together. We also encourage families to call their schools, talk to their administrators. They are able to help with that registration as well. All of that information gets back to the same place, and we can make sure that we have our list together to provide what we need to for students. We do have an initiative in place with our schools. Obviously, there are certain students that we would like to target in that way. We really want them to be a part of these summer programs. Administrators are going to be reaching out individually to those families and students to ensure that they're aware that this is an offering and that this is something that we want them to be a part of and be able to help them with that registration process as well.
Okay. Anything that I did not ask that you'd like to add about the summer programming?
I think we covered everything we need to, but just reiterating that we think this is a vital component of students learning in this very disrupted school year and a great way to get them started off on the right foot for 2021-2022.
Yeah, I would really encourage parents, especially if you have any ounce of doubt about the learning that your child has done this year and you're worried about whether they've fallen behind or anything like that, take advantage of this opportunity.
Right.
That, like you said, this opportunity is eligible for all students.
Right.
And so we want you to be able to take advantage of them. We understand that it is difficult to come finish the school year and start right away, but that's why we want to make it an enjoyable experience and really get kids involved in activities that are going to be really interesting to them and fun for them as well. So we'll have that information out next week.
Yep.
April 2nd, I believe, is what?
April 2nd, which is Friday.
April 2nd is Friday. Okay. So we will get that information out to everybody listening. And we are thankful that you've joined us today. And we'd like to wish everybody a happy spring break. We're hoping that this will go out during spring break. So we hope that people are enjoying their time off. And thanks for listening again. And everybody have a great day.